booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Happy Friday. The weekend is here. Beautiful weather and no work tomorrow for some of us. I'm Frank Morano.
I'm Juliet Huddy. Yes, for some of us, we're going to be lazing around.
Yes.
Got family in town. There's a lot of stuff going on. Christian and Gabby are at controls. Deb, as you heard, is at the breaking news desk. The somewhat medieval travel restrictions that the U.S. has for international travelers may be lifted soon. So if you've got family from out of the country, you might have good news, hopefully soon. Also, the former president, not happy with his colleagues on the right at all.
I am
well, some of them at least.
Not surprised to hear that.
Yeah, and Prince Harry goes nuclear. Oh my God! If he wanted to sever ties with the royal family, he has just done it.
And Martin Bashir cannot be too happy with another member of the royal family as well.
Well, that's very true.
Yes.
Exactly. Prince William just went off about Martin Bashir's phony interview.
We may have to do a double royal update.
We got a triple royal update.
Look,
I haven't seen you
that excited since.
Oh God, I'm glowing.
I don't know, the Princess Diana wedding. All right. At 5:07, a gentleman who is. Always excited when there's royal updates is the one and only Joe Nolan.
Hi, Joseph.
Hello, Joe.
Hello, everyone. And as you travel out on the Deegan southbound, all lanes are closed up in the 230s. Deb was just talking about it. That tractor-trailer car accident, there's an accident investigation that continues. So southbound, the major Deegan completely shut down as you come down into the 230s and you're backed up through Van Cortlandt Park already. Outbound on the Gowanus at 3rd Avenue, an accident left lane. Overnight maintenance northbound on the Turnpike Inner Roadway, all lanes are closed. And southbound on the Verrazano Bridge, you're getting over to Staten Island, you've got maintenance there as well. And alternate side of the street, parking rules and regulations once again today are going to be in effect. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Joseph from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. It is going to be a nice day to drive around. 78 degrees if you've got a convertible. Put that top down. Sun, maybe some clouds mixed in there, but 78 degrees is pretty nice for a Friday,
I have to say. Can't
with a little cloud cover, you know, to just cool you off every once in a while.
Absolutely.
Not bad at all. Nice evening, too, about 60, mid-60s or so. Tomorrow, 91 degrees. Woo! Mainly cloudy and very light winds. It's going to be a scorcher. It's going to be a scorcher. Then Sunday, 90 degrees, partly cloudy skies. We will see some sun, though. It is going to be hot, hot, hot the next few days, especially over the weekend. But interestingly, we're going to go from 90 on Sunday to 61 Sunday evening,
Ooh,
Sunday night.
Okay.
It's going to drop like a rock. And Monday, we're going to have 65 degrees and cloudy skies.
All right. Well, some good news coming out of the Middle East for a change. World leaders are hailing a ceasefire in the Middle East. Israel and the militant group Hamas agreed to end 11 days of fighting. During that time, Israeli airstrikes killed more than 230 people in Gaza. Palestinian rocket attacks claimed 12 lives in Israel. The United Nations says both sides now need to address the root causes of the conflict. But for now, the next step is to ensure the truce holds and begin rebuilding Gaza. As of now, though, the ceasefire appears to be holding.
The former president is not happy at all with his colleagues on the right, at least 35 of them. In a statement yesterday, President Trump slammed the Republicans who voted in favor of forming a 9/11-style commission to investigate the violent attempt to overtake the Capitol January 6th and put Trump back in power. He referred to the 35 as wayward, ineffective, and weak for standing up to their fellow party members and voting to approve that commission. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, meantime, of course, praised the group for standing on up for what they believe, basically.
Two immigration facilities are shutting down for alleged abuse in Massachusetts. Deputies reportedly used flashbang grenades, pepper ball launchers, and canines. In Georgia, a gynecologist is accused of performing unnecessary procedures on women, including hysterectomies. The Homeland Security Secretary says they won't tolerate any mistreatment. Detainees will now be transferred to other centers.
President Biden was back in the White House Thursday. He was joined by Vice President Kamala Harris to sign the Anti-Asian Hate Crime Bill. He called the bipartisan passage significant. The group gathered, by the way, was mostly maskless, not socially distant, as per new CDC guidelines that allow vaccinated folks free rein. Also in the crowd, the family of Heather Heyer, the young activist killed after being run over by a white supremacist in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Four children in Arizona are in the hospital after a bounce house went flying. A strong gust of wind actually lifted it several feet during a party at a Mesa Park. Witnesses say they watched in horror as the bounce house blew over. The kids, ages 5 to 11, were inside playing inside at the time. They were all hurt and taken to a hospital. Oh, this comes days after another bounce house in the state flew 20 feet in the air, injuring two children. So as we go into summer, parents, use those bounce houses responsibly.
There's got to be a way to weigh them down.
I always thought they were strapped or something.
I mean, yeah. Oh, yikes. It must have been some serious winds. All right. They have looked pretty chummy of late, but it wasn't always so warm between Jill Biden and Kamala Harris. The Daily Beast reporting the First Lady blew a fuse when Harris belittled Joe Biden's stance on race. This was back during the primaries. The revelation is part of an upcoming book that describes Jill Biden as using not so ladylike words on a call with supporters shortly after the June 2019 primary debate involving her husband and, of course, Kamala Harris. The exact phrase, "Go F yourself," is what Jill Biden said essentially towards Kamala Harris, who was not on the phone call. Other reports suggest the then candidate was caught off guard by Harris's attack, but he considered her a member of his team. And that's why he was caught off guard, even back then, considered her a trusted ally. And so Jill was upset about that. Sources say Biden's sister also gave Harris the cold shoulder after that primary debate, and insiders wondered if that would doom Harris's chance of becoming his running mate, but clearly not.
The Treasury Department is cracking down on cryptocurrency. All transfers of at least $10,000 of the digital asset must now be reported to the IRS. Officials say cryptocurrency already poses a significant detection problem, including tax evasion. The IRS already added a line about it last year on individual tax forms. The White House is also calling for banks to report on account flows.
When you are the boss's bro, you can kind of get away with just about anything, it seems. The CNN host, Chris Cuomo, well, he certainly can. The Washington Post reporting the younger Cuomo gave New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, his older brother, several rounds of advice on how to deal with the sexual harassment allegations that started piling up against him. The paper claims Chris advised the elder Cuomo to remain defiant and even throw out the, quote, cancel culture card. CNN heads say the interactions were inappropriate and their host will refrain from doing more of that kind of thing in the future. My editorial, and I know I'm not supposed to, but this is totally absurd. Chris and Andrew Cuomo are brothers. They're very close. They can't be watched 24/7. Not sure why this information was out there in the first place. They probably should have kept that between the two of
them. They should have, number one. But my take on this was Chris Cuomo does not do a straight news broadcast. He does an opinion program.
Yes.
So it's not as if this was, I don't know who the straight newscasters are anyway, Lester Holt.
But I think the issue was about the fact that he's saying, oh yeah, you know, how to deal with sexual harassment, like basically shut these women down. Mm-hmm. You know, who knows if they're telling the truth? Who knows if they're not? We typically don't know in these situations, as I know very well, but that's, I think, what's getting people crazy.
I see. I get that.
You know what I mean?
I get that. I thought initially it was the fact that he was participating in these Andrew Cuomo strategy
sessions.
Well,
that's part of it, but I mean,
and then commenting on world
right.
affairs.
I mean, do you honestly expect, like, if your brother was going through something that you wouldn't be trying to help him through?
Well,
you know,
I thought, and I try to look at all these situations objectively.
Yes.
I give advice periodically to our former colleague, Curtis Sliwa, but I don't think there's anything wrong with that because a lot of what I do on the radio is me giving my opinion.
Well, first of all, you're an opinion host, but you're also a good friend of his, a longtime friend.
Exactly.
And you are not touting him, promoting him on the air.
But none of the advice that I've given him has anything to do with stifling sexual harassment.
And it's probably terrible advice.
Exactly. That's true. You do know me, Juliette. All right.
That's why we're going to win that newly host game.
That's right. In just a minute, we'll talk with our prospective adversary in the newly host game, Sid Rosenberg, and find out what's happening in sports.
This is the WABC Early News.
5:15, big weekend for sports, and we're very, very lucky to have as our sports Sherpa the one and only Sid Rosenberg. Hello there, Sid.
Good morning, Frank and Juliet. Happy Friday to everybody. A day after Corey Kluber picked his very first ever no-hitter for the Yanks. Again, it was a Yankee starter stealing the show last night, this time Domingo Herman. seven scoreless innings, struck out six along the way, and for the second consecutive night, the Yanks beat the Rangers by the same score, 2-0. Pinch hits by Gio Urshela and Aaron Judge accounting for the offense in the seventh. But again, Domingo Herman, the story last night, he improves to 4-2 on the season. Here's Yankee skipper Aaron Boone on Herman's start.
But Domingo, you know, continues to pitch really well. I mean, his mix of pitches, the command of those, the ability to throw any and any count, another really strong outing by him.
Yankees get their third straight win. They're 25-19. They're third in the American League East, a game and a half behind Joseph Abud's leading Boston Red Sox. Yankees will host the White Sox in the Bronx tonight. Mets enjoyed the day off. They're in Miami for Derek Jeter's Marlins coming up this weekend. Hockey last night, the Islanders lost another tough one, 5-4. To the Pittsburgh Penguins, and the Isles now find themselves down 2-1 in that series. NBA last night, play-in game, the Wizards smacked the Pacers 142-115. Washington earns the right to take on the one-seed 76ers in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Now it's all set. It'll be Philly versus Washington. The Nets will take on the Celtics. The Bucks will take on the Heat. And Sunday night, game one of the Knicks and Hawks at Madison Square Garden. Here's Knick coach Tom Thibodeau on that.
We're excited because we get great support. I think we have the greatest fans in the world here. They're passionate, and obviously the Garden is such a special place to, you know, not only us, but everyone in the NBA.
Later on tonight, Golden State will take on Memphis in the West to take on the one seed Utah Jazz. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out at peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. Sports at 15-45. You know it. I'm Sid.
You're Sid.
Right.
5:17. Now,
it's time for page six.
For traffic on the 7th.
Just hold on.
More on that in a minute. Someone who is not yet in page six, but hopefully will be
not yet.
This weekend, is the busiest traffic reporter in the tri-state area, Joe Nolan.
Hello, that Joe. Islander game last night was fabulous. What a great hockey game. Southbound on the Deegan, all lanes are closed to the 230s. Again, tractor-trailer car accident investigation. That continues. Outbound on the Gowanus at 3rd Avenue, there's a crash. The left lane out of service. Now, if you're Brooklyn-bound Verrazano, there was an earlier accident on the upper level. Now, because of that, the eastbound Staten Island Expressway is backed up from Toad Hill Road right on up and onto the Verrazano. So just a mess on Staten Island. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations, once again today, are going to be in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, yep. Joseph. From your Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, it is going to be a very nice day today. 78 degrees for the high with a mix of sun and clouds. Very light winds. We're going to get down to 64 degrees tonight. It's going to be a very, very nice evening. Interestingly, though, we're going to pop up from 64 tonight to 91 degrees tomorrow for a high. Mainly cloudy skies, but we will see some sun tomorrow. And on Sunday, pretty much the same thing, 90 degrees, partly cloudy skies, hot, hot, hot. Then we drop back down again to the low 60s, and Monday we're looking at 65 and cloudy skies. Currently the temperature in New York is, let's see, 59 degrees. Not bad.
Photos of the world's largest iceberg are going viral. It broke off from an ice shelf in Antarctica and is now floating in the Weddell Sea. It measures nearly 1,700 square miles, which is nearly six times the size of New York City and three times bigger than Los Angeles. Scientists say it won't raise the ocean level when it melts, since it was already in the water as part of a floating ice shelf. They expect it to eventually break apart.
I think the headline in the Daily Mail out of the UK pretty much says it all. Harry goes nuclear. This is a royal alert, and a royal alert of the most serious kind, people. Prince Harry today has basically released another extraordinary, I guess they're calling it a truth bomb, on his family, the royal family. He accuses them of total silence and total neglect when he came to them and said Meghan was feeling suicidal because of the pressure that she was feeling and all of the hate that she was getting and abuse while she was the princess, essentially, or the duchess, living over in the UK. He also claims that his father, Prince Charles, made him suffer as a child. And he said, I insist on not being bullied ever again into silence. If the firm is going to try to smear me all you want, but I will not keep my mouth shut. This is all in a series of very candid interviews with Oprah Winfrey on a new Apple TV Plus show. It's called The Me You Can't See. They talk about mental health. And he said, look, as far as Megan and I go, we tried to make it work. We spent 4 years doing this. We did everything we possibly could. But Megan was struggling and nobody was there to help us. So we're going to actually have Tanya Ryman.
Oh.
Yes, the body language expert joining us at the bottom of the hour to talk about this. And also, if we have time to talk about the Matt Perry from Friends situation, this guy looks like he's in trouble and that big reunion is coming up next week.
Yeah, the audio that you played yesterday certainly didn't sound good.
Right. I feel so bad for him. I mean, he's really definitely struggled with addiction.
Mm. That's
and you
for
can
sure.
tell.
All right. Let me tell you what's happening in the world of business. The opening bell rings this morning as the trading week starts to wind down on Wall Street. Markets finished in the green yesterday after three straight days of losses. I guess it could also be considered in the black. The latest jobless numbers also provided investors confidence to put money back into the market. At the close, the Dow Jones Industrial gained 188 points. The S&P 500 was up 43 points and the NASDAQ rose 236 points. Today, existing home sales for April are due, and housing industry analysts expect sales to bounce back after falling in March. The experts are forecasting a 0.7% rise to an annualized rate of 6.5 million. The numbers will be out at 10 a.m. this morning, Juliet.
The somewhat medieval travel restrictions in place here in the U.S., you know, as far as people coming into the United States from out of the country, they may be about to go the way of masks, at least for vaccinated people. The Biden administration and Pete Buttigieg in the Transportation Department are reportedly considering a plan to allow vaccinated Europeans to come to the United States. But so far, apparently, there have been meetings going on for about a month, but no decisions have been made yet. The news comes just days after the European Union gave the green light to vaccinated travelers from outside the EU to come on into those 27 states.
Alcohol may be partly responsible for an apparent grenade hoax in Florida. A 49-year-old man was arrested this week after a dummy grenade was found in Volusia County. He allegedly told deputies he placed it there and called 911 to draw attention to national intelligence. Deputies say he also admitted to drinking five beers beforehand.
He thought it was a good idea. You know, he was drunk and he thought, I'm going to really get their attention.
But you know, five beers is not that many beers.
Well, maybe he's on pills too.
God knows.
Maybe he's just
operative part of that story.
Exactly.
Florida.
Couple little updates here. Just to let you guys know, the state, New York State, announced the Vaccine Scratch Lottery Program. If you haven't heard about this, it provides free lottery scratch-off tickets to people 18 and over with a grand prize of $5 million, and it's going to include 10 vaccination sites in the city, Long Island, Mid-Hudson, Central New York, Finger Lakes, Mohawk Valley, and Western New York regions. They open up on May 24th to May 28th. And also, if you come into the airports around here, New York City, White Plains, Albany, Syracuse, Rochester, and Buffalo, there are going to be pop-up sites for vaccinations there. I know that a friend of mine is coming from Europe and she's been struggling to get the vaccination over there. So she's going to try to get it over here at the airport.
Again, so they're giving out all sorts of free stuff
and
now
you missed
lottery
out.
Tickets. I feel so duped here in terms of getting this vaccination as soon as I was eligible to get it. I don't get any of this stuff.
You
a
know
vaccine
what you get?
Lotto, I could use that chance at winning $5
million. Get a bravo for being brave, for doing your part to try to bring herd immunity. That's what you get.
Who wants the bravo? I want the lottery
ticket. This is not important to you?
It is. But I don't feel like it's sincere. I feel like...
Oh, I am sincere.
All right.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. You know me with the vaccination stuff. Yeah. I'm getting yelled at on Twitter constantly because I don't want to get vaccinated. I don't want to give it. Look, congratulations. You got vaccinated.
Thank you.
Good for you.
But I wish I had I got vaccinated and a lottery ticket.
Well, next time.
Dueling pro-Palestinian and pro-Israeli protesters fought in New York Times Square overnight. Police say they arrested at least 24 people. In one incident, a group of people could be seen beating up a Jewish man.
Oh, lovely.
Palestinian demonstrators are also believed to be behind an explosive that went off in the Diamond District. No one was injured in the blast, thank goodness. The demonstrations were going on as an Egyptian-brokered ceasefire between Israel and Hamas was just taking effect after more than a week of fighting that's claimed the lives of well over 200 Palestinians and left at least 13 Israelis dead.
Vladimir Putin is using that scary language again. Ooh, this
Russian?
Guy. Yeah, the Russian. No, well, the actual words that he's using. The Russian president alleged Thursday that some of her enemies are hoping to snatch territory away. He said if they try it, Moscow would, quote, knock their teeth. I will knock your teeth out. In a veiled attack at the U.S., he accused other countries of essentially making excuses to keep Russia down. Try to keep me down. Relationships between Russia and the U.S. could hardly be described as friendly these days. Experts point to the annexation of Crimea, Russian election meddling and hacking. To bolster his message, he made sure to mention Russia has the most modern strategic nuclear forces compared to other nuclear powers. That is what he claims, at least.
527.
He's scary.
Well,
he's a scary dude.
I feel like that's, you know, a broader comment that, I don't have more than the 40 seconds
you
necessary
to respond.
You
don't agree that he's scary? Do you agree?
I don't agree that he's
scary.
You don't? But we'll say
that. I'd like you to go to Russia and start, get out into the middle of the street and start insulting him and see what happens.
Well.
See if you're not scared then.
I accept your challenge. Do I get my lottery ticket if I go forward?
I'll get you a lottery ticket if you'd like, yes.
All right. Someone who can tell me what the traffic's like on the way to Russia, or at least on the way to the airport to Russia, is Joe Nolan, who's got traffic and transit on the 7s. Hello there, Joe.
Well, unbelievably enough, the Belt Parkway actually looks in pretty good shape right now coming towards Kennedy Airport. Same thing on the Van Wyck as you head southbound. But Staten Island Expressway, bumper-to-bumper, Toad Hill Road, right to the Verrazano. There was an earlier accident up on the Verrazano. That is the cause of all this traffic on Staten Island. You're also looking at problems outbound on the Gowanus at 3rd Avenue, an accident in the left lane. Now, on the BQE, northbound of Northern Boulevard, there's a crash. Southbound on the Deegan, all lanes remain closed up in the 230s with that tractor-trailer car accident. Accident investigation continues. And alternate side of the street parking rules again today are in effect. This report, a service of Napa Auto Parts, whether it's offering curbside or next day delivery for online orders on over 160,000 parts or getting involved in their local communities. When it comes to serving you, Napa's motor never quits. That's Napa know-how with traffic on the 7s. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Body language expert Tanya Ryman joining us momentarily to talk about Prince Harry going nuclear and also Matt Perry on Friends. And coming up in your Jet Set Julia travel update at 5:40, road trips are popping in popularity. But you better do this before you go, and I'm going to tell you that coming up. And also, where you can live, these incredible places all around the world, you can live and work, and it's not going to be expensive either.
From the 77 WABC Early News Desk, I'm Deborah Valentine. 20 arrests as Israeli and Palestinian protesters clashed in Manhattan's Times Square yesterday. One person was burned after commercial fireworks were tossed from a vehicle during the protest. Meanwhile, a ceasefire was announced yesterday between Israel and Hamas. Two dead after a BMW slammed right into the back of a Whole Foods truck. This happened on the Major Deegan Expressway just after midnight. The driver of the truck unhurt. Joe Nolan will have an update on the traffic situation in that area. A Dobbs Ferry police officer released from Westchester County Medical Center yesterday after a man repeatedly stabbed him in his head. The sergeant was directing traffic at a Con Edison utility site when he was suddenly assaulted. Utility workers jumped into action. The man was arrested at the scene. Well, you have to listen to this. There was a fiery exchange between New York's Governor Andrew Cuomo yesterday and a reporter over the governor's $5 million book deal about the viral pandemic. The reporter asked the governor a question about his book deal.
The book deal, I should say, was worth more than $5 million. And the allegations out there that you made that money on the backs of dead New Yorkers. How do you respond to that?
That's stupid. Next question.
So the governor says he gave some of the money he made from this book to charity, and he also established trusts for his three daughters. New York City's Social Services Commissioner is Steve Banks, and he says there's been a 38% decrease in New York City's homeless population on the subways and out there on the streets in all five boroughs.
More units are coming online. Supportive housing is coming online. And this approach is beginning to make a breakthrough for actual human beings.
Meanwhile, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio announced yesterday New York City will announce a plan in the coming weeks to get homeless people out of luxury hotels and into places like shelters or permanent housing. From the 77 WABC News Desk, I'm Deborah Valentine.
Fox News, I'm Carmen Roberts. 11 days of intense fighting between Israel and Hamas end with a ceasefire. President Biden spoke to Prime Minister Netanyahu and praised Israel for agreeing to end hostilities.
I also emphasize what I've said throughout this conflict. The United States fully supports Israel's right to defend itself against indiscriminate rocket attacks from Hamas and other Gaza-based terrorist groups.
Barrages from both sides claimed more than 200 lives, mostly in Gaza. Some Tennessee lawmakers are furious over reports the U.S. is quietly sending unaccompanied illegal migrant children to their state.
Once these individuals show up for education, health care, housing, children's services, the state, the taxpayer, is paying the bill.
GOP Senator Marsha Blackburn. America's listening to Fox News.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Welcome back, everybody. WABC News time, 5:32. By the way, on this day, Friday, May 21st, I believe it is, 1948, Yankees' Joe DiMaggio hits for the cycle, getting a single, double, triple, and a home run in the same game.
That's very impressive.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update momentarily, live in a gorgeous modern house with a pool for pennies and be surrounded by complete beauty. I'll tell you how. But first, let's get to our newsmaker segment. I think this headline in the Daily Mail pretty much says it all. I said this earlier. Harry goes nuclear. We're talking about Prince Harry. And we have Tanya Ryman, our buddy, joining us again, who's a body language expert, the premier body language expert in this country, really in the world, I think. I've known her for a long time, and she's just right on top of things. So basically, just to give you a little background, if you hadn't heard, Prince Harry is part of this new Oprah Winfrey show on Apple TV Plus. And he basically has just... the promo for it has just come out, and he is ripping the royal family apart.
Quick question. Right?
Yeah.
Is this the same fellow that did the previous interview with Oprah?
Yes, Harry.
Same
Prince
guy.
Harry.
Okay.
Yes. So essentially he's saying his father made him suffer as a child. That's Prince Charles, who will one day be king. He says that when Meghan was suicidal, she was incapable of getting any help from the royal family. The firm just basically shut her down. And all that business. So, Tanya Ryman, I had you look this morning. I gave you a little breaking news, and I had you look at some of the video from this show that's going to be airing. And I'm curious as to what you have to say about your views. Sorry, we just changed some headphones for her. We should probably test this kind of stuff out during the commercial breaks. I'm curious about your views on Prince Harry, and you saw what he was saying. You saw how he was saying it. What is your thought on that?
Well, I mean, obviously, anytime you get that angry and your hands start to kind of flail around, you recognize that somebody's truly getting annoyed. But what you have to realize is that anger comes from the brain. And it's similar to being drunk. You almost, that's why when you get really angry, sometimes you forget what mm-hmm. you just said. So when I'm listening and watching him, what I'm seeing is, you know, his voice changes. And if you listen, you can hear his accent becomes a little bit thicker.
Uh-huh.
The angrier he gets, it kind of, again, that's because we lose a little bit of brain function and we let things go. So I noticed on top of the anger that you can see visually, whether it's a clenched jaw or the large eyes or his hands going all over the place, you can also hear the difference. And go ahead.
I was just going to say, so that's interesting. You said the accent gets thicker. Do you think that he has been trying to tone down his accent? Is that why the accent would get thicker?
No, I don't think he tries to tone it down. I think what happens is it's a natural thing. We're on autopilot all the time, so we speak a certain way.
Okay,
right?
I see what you're saying.
And then other times we just kind of forget mm-hmm. how we speak and mm-hmm. then we're talking in a whole different way. So that's maybe I would say talk instead of talking.
You know, right.
So it happens and also depends upon who's standing around us. But with him, certain things, again, you know, the voice changes. I saw he had an angry clenched jaw and furrowed brow. And if you looked, he got redder as he spoke. So these are the things that we look for. But more importantly, you also have to see if somebody's angry, is their pitch going up, meaning they're really excited and they're angry, or is their pitch going down?
What does that mean if it goes
down? Okay, so the more serious the anger, like the deeper the anger, the lower the pitch will be and the slower the conversation will be until you become irate and then...
If you're more excited, does that sort of represent more hurt?
Well, when you get really excited like that, most of the time that's an instantaneous thing. Like I just heard something and I flip out, right? But if I've had time to kind of marinate, then suddenly I'm going to be talking more like this.
Ooh, that's what I do to my husband.
Yeah, the pitch goes down and it's slower.
Oh, yeah. Could you tell whether he was telling the truth about things in this interview?
Oh, I do believe he was telling the truth. I didn't see the whole interview here, but I saw the original with him and Meghan, and I do think that they were being truthful.
Very quickly, Juliet alluded to the Matthew Perry situation,
right.
not the Commodore that steamed into Japan in 1853, but the Friends actor who was accused of slurring his words in this Friends reunion special, in this interview that they did. What was your take on this Matthew Perry interview? What did you think?
He was just kind of not involved. If you watch, he was sitting there laid back. His body was kind of splayed open. He wasn't really making eye contact with most people, and he didn't get involved. It seemed like he didn't want to be there. So the slurring of the speech, that could go into any direction. I mean, we all do that occasionally, but it did come off as if he just couldn't care less.
I wonder if he was under the influence of something.
Yeah. It's possible.
When you were watching that, what was your feeling about the other people around? Did you happen to notice them, or were you just focused on him?
No, I did notice that the other ones, the two men, were a little bit colder. David and
Matt LeBlanc.
Right.
Right.
They were a little bit colder to one another. And
to each other?
Yeah, yeah. And I also noticed that at one point, Jennifer Aniston seemed to try to get everybody together. Like, she seemed to be the uniter of the group.
Interesting.
Could you tell if this is going to be special worth watching?
It's Friends. It's always worth
watching. I mean, yeah, I definitely think so. It's just so weird. Anyway, all right. Well, thank you, Tanya.
Hey, they're bringing Dexter back. So if they're bringing Dexter back
the
for
heck
another
is Dexter.
Oh, my goodness. Where do
That's
you live?
That's a very popular show.
Sorry.
I don't know.
Oh, Dexter. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
People. I thought it was like, okay, yeah, I got it. Thank you, Tanya.
Thank you.
I'll see you later on.
All right. Somebody that's never killed anybody, as far as we know, is our traffic correspondent, Joe Nolan. Although the traffic can be a killer. Am I right, Joe?
Oh, yeah. It's a busy morning, too. On the BQE northbound Northern Boulevard. An accident, that in the process of being cleared. If you're southbound on the Deegan, all lanes are closed in the 230s. That tractor-trailer car accident with an accident investigation. Apparently a car came and slammed into the back of a truck on the overnight, so there's an accident investigation going on. It probably won't be too much longer. Eastbound Staten Island Expressway, a little better. You're backed up now Clove Road to the Verrazano. That earlier accident on the VC has been cleared, but now we have a disabled truck in the center lane at Clove Road, and alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations are in effect today. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
It is time now for Frank's Business Report.
Well, the stock market was up yesterday. The Dow Jones up 188, the S&P up 43, and the NASDAQ up a whopping 236 points. A major airline, though, is revealing its timetable for the return of in-flight alcohol sales. USA Today reports Southwest Airlines will offer alcoholic beverages on flights starting this summer. Passengers heading to Hawaii will get the first taste of the rebooted service starting June 24th with a limited selection. The service will expand to the majority of routes on July 14th. Google's first retail store is coming to New York City later this year. It's expected to open this summer, and many products will be available, including Pixel phones, which is the phone that I use. Technical support for devices made by Google will also be offered. That'll include fixing phone screens that are cracked. Juliet.
Thank you. Time now for your Jet Set Juliet travel update. Follow me at Juliet Huddy TV on Instagram and Twitter. Got some breaking news really quick. RV rental bookings are up 846% in April. And the summer season looks very strong. So if you're interested in doing that, you better book immediately. All right, moving on. Millions of Americans have decided to take up their company's option to work at home. You're probably listening to me and you probably are shaking your head. Yeah. Lots of bosses realized their employees enjoyed it and CEOs enjoyed it because in many cases the output was better and it saved corporations a lot of money in property leasing. If you're working from home but are up for an adventure, why not consider being a digital nomad? It's not always easy to work from a foreign country, and in some cases, it can be legal. Tourist visas usually last about a month to 3 months, and they're hard to renew, but thanks to the pandemic, things have changed. Economies have been devastated, and that has leaders all over the world rethinking their policies by offering remote work or freelancer visas. Here are a few of my favorites. It's not a complete list. I'm going to post a link of a helpful article on my Twitter at Juliet Huddy TV. And there are also additional conditions to the ones I'm mentioning. But Bermuda, think about it. 2-hour flight, so you're close to the States should you need to get back quickly. You can stay there up for a year. And unlike a lot of other countries, there's no minimum income requirement. The average one bedroom will run you about $2,500 a month, though. That's it. Paradise doesn't come cheap. But still, I mean, not bad compared to New York. I know a lot of folks love Costa Rica. It's relaxed, lots of surfing, cool people, the jungle, big American expat community. Their Rentista program allows you to stay up to 2 years, and there's a good chance you can extend that. The only problem is the visa only allows self-employed or entrepreneurs. You can't work for another company, and you have to earn $2,500 a month. Cost of a big one bedroom in the capital of San Jose is about $1,000 a month. I definitely would jump at the chance to work from Croatia. Are you kidding me? Beaches, streets so clean you can eat off of them. Their visas max out at a year. You have to make roughly $3,000 a month. A two-bedroom furnished apartment in Old Town Dubrovnik, where they film Game of Thrones, will run you around $1,500 a month. That's two bedrooms. I've never been there, but I would still jump at the chance to work from the Czech Republic. Prague? I mean, really, their Zivno program offers a freelancer visa for a year. It can be extended, and they are really techie there, so you'll have fast internet. A one-bedroom in Prague will average you $950 a month. A really nice one-bedroom will cost you about $2,500 a month. If you love modern vibes and jaw-dropping, if not nerve-wracking, architecture, how about working for a year in Dubai? It's a really eye-popping, contemporary city with a beach and a desert. You've got to earn at least $5,000 a month, but if you can swing it, wait till you see what you can get for less than $2,000 a month in one of the city's swankiest buildings. I posted this on my Twitter. You got to see it to believe it. Drink beer, live in the Alps. What could possibly be better? Germany has a special visa that allows freelancers and self-employed folks to live from 6 months to 3 years. You have to show that at least some of your clients will be in Germany. So, you know, you have to help out the local economy. A nice furnished studio in Munich will cost you roughly $1,300 a month. Iceland is cold, yes, but that's what those thermal baths are for. Their long-term visa is pretty short. It's just 6 months. You need to make around $8,000 a month, and you have to be employed by a non-Icelandic company. A two-bedroom apartment overlooking the water will run you about $1,700 a month. There are some really cool towns with lots of expats in Mexico, and their terms are great when it comes to letting Americans work from these places. A temporary resident visa is good for a year. You can renew for another 3 years. You only have to prove that you've made roughly $1,600 a month for the previous 6 months, or show that you've got $27,000 in the bank. A stunning four-bedroom with pool and air conditioning, which is important down there, in Merida, which is a very cool town, will run you less than $2,000 a month. These places, these homes are absolutely gorgeous. Finally, I have friends who moved to Portugal, and they love it. You can, too, for a year, with the ability to renew for up to 5 years. After that, you can apply to live there permanently, which is what my friends did. You need to earn $700 a month, prove you're financially solid. A gorgeous, fully furnished, upscale, two-bedroom flat overlooking the ocean in Porto will run you about $2,500 a month. One more quick thing, Spain. You can stay there for a year with the ability to renew. You can get a luxury loft in the quarter, Gothic quarter of Barcelona for less than $1,000 a month. And they want retirees mainly there. I mean, these are really great.
Sid's going to retire right now.
I'm ready to go.
Sid, by the way, in today's Page Six, Sid Rosenberg, host of Bernie and Sid in the Morning on 77 WABC Radio, is getting into acting. And it mentions that you are going to be appearing in season two of Gravesend on Amazon Prime. We're told Rosenberg shot scenes in Miami a few weeks back with more veteran actors, and they go on to say who they were, and saying you're going to play a fictional crime soldier, Dave Busco, and the project is set in 80s era book. This is amazing. How the hell do you have this going on?
Oh, I got a lot going on.
You know what also amazing, and congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Excuse me. What's amazing is that you're the host of that particular morning show, and yet it's not called the Sid Rosenberg
show. No, it's not. No.
It's the Bernie and Sid show.
There are two hosts.
Well, but it doesn't say co-host.
No, I know. I didn't write that, so. Right. Yeah, I know.
They probably should have added.
What a startup there,
I know. He did that to me this morning, too.
Let me say this. The beauty about Bernie, and I mean this, I've worked with former Dolphin wide receiver, O.J. McDuffie to Joe Beningo. He doesn't care. You know, he loves working with me. I love working with him. But don't laugh. There are people that would get upset about that.
I know. I've worked with some of those people.
Yeah. What do you mean? He's a co-host. And that's not Beningo.
No, that's why it makes my teasing of you so much less fun.
Right. No, that's okay. Yeah. I got one coming for you.
Oh, yeah. You do. What's happening in sports?
Let's start with the Yankees. The day after they beat the Rangers 2-0 and Corey Kluber pitched his very first ever no-hitter, they beat the Rangers again yesterday. 2-0. This time, Domingo Herman was the star for the Yankees. Seven shutout innings. He improved to 4-2 on the season. A couple of big pinch hits for Gio Urshela and Aaron Judge, and the Yankees get the win. The Yanks are now 25-19. They've won three in a row. They find themselves a game and a half behind the Red Sox in third place inside the American League East, and they start a series tonight in the Bronx against the White Sox. The Mets, they were off yesterday. They start a series in Miami today against Derek Jeter's Marlins. The Islanders, a tough loss last night. You know, folks, all three of these games between Pittsburgh and the Islanders have been decided by one goal. Pittsburgh now up 2-1 in that series. They beat the Islanders 5-4 last night. Here's Isles head coach Barry Trotz after the loss.
They've got a couple of bounces that went their way, so we've had to chase the game. We chased the game all day today. Obviously, I thought we played pretty well. We didn't give them a lot, but anytime we gave them something, they ended up scoring.
Wizards beat the Pacers last night, 142-115. They earned the 8th seed in the East. They'll take on the 1 seed Sixers. Nets and Celtics will play this weekend. Here's the Nets' Joe Harris on this Brooklyn basketball team.
You look over the span of the last 5 years, like you said, just, you know, we went from being a team that was really an afterthought amongst everybody in the NBA to now, you know, this the favorite, the villain, whatever you want to say.
Knicks and Hawks start their series from Madison Square Garden on Sunday night. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out at peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. Sports at 15 and 45. I'm Page Six Sid.
Oh, no.
Oh,
it begins.
Poor Bernie. He
go
is
away,
in
Hollywood.
For a
go
long
away.
3.5 hours today, boy. Joe Nolan, man, not yet in Page Six as far as we know today.
I've successfully avoided that for 41 years.
Although there was an interesting article I came across of you and your WABC softball outfit.
Oh, boy, that was horrible, wasn't it?
You actually look pretty good there. You're not
back in the day.
For those of us awaiting the traffic, Joe, how's it looking?
Eastbound, Staten Island Expressway, bumper to bumper to Clove Road, right through the Verrazano. An earlier accident on the Verrazano Bridge, also a disabled truck. In the center lane of Clove Road, you put all that together, and everything is messed up on the Staten Island Expressway as you travel eastbound from at least Clove Road to the bridge. Now, you're looking at delays outbound on the Gowanus, coming into 3rd Avenue, a left lane accident, BQE, northbound of Northern Boulevard. There was an earlier crash. Southbound on the Deegan, all lanes are closed in the west 230s with a tractor-trailer car accident and an accident investigation and alternate side of the street. Parking rules and regulations, again, today are in effect. This report, a service of Napa Auto Parts, whether it's offering curbside or next-day delivery, and online orders are over 160,000 parts are getting involved in their local communities. When it comes to serving you, Napa's motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
We have the mayor of one of upstate New York's biggest cities in big trouble this morning. I'll tell you about it in headlines in 1 minute.
This is the WABC Early News.
Welcome back, everybody. Lots of stuff to get to, including some of the big headlines today. Frank, there is a horrific story out of Iran. A film director there was murdered by his own parents in what the father himself proudly admitted was an honor killing. Barak Karandin's body parts were basically found in a suitcase and bins, trash bins, outside his parents' home just west of Tehran. They were apparently upset with their 47-year-old son because he hadn't gotten married yet.
Ah.
Officials say the father admitting giving his son sedatives, stabbing him to death, dismembering his body, and then throwing it in the nearest trash can on the street. Karandim had been working in London since the early 2000s. Again, he was a filmmaker, and he had come back to Iran to see his family and to teach film. Ay, ay, ay.
A flower known as the corpse flower is drawing quite the crowd at a California gas station. Hundreds have lined up to see the rare flower bloom after gardener Solomon Leyva brought it to an Alameda Art Deco gas station. Leyva told KGO-TV it can take upwards of 20 years for the flower to bloom. Leyva estimated at least 1,400 people have come out to take a look at the plant. It's called the corpse flower because of the odor it releases while blooming.
Have you ever smelled the odor of a dead body?
At a funeral parlor and stuff, but
no.
That's treated with formaldehyde.
Yeah, no, I'm like,
no,
know,
not a, not,
not
a,
a, not a, not a pleasant smell.
Really? I'll take your word for it.
Not a pleasant smell. The mayor of one of upstate New York's biggest cities is probably not having a pleasant feeling. She's feeling the heat this morning. The husband of Rochester Mayor Lovely Warren is now facing felony charges after being caught with cocaine and a gun. He is set to appear in court on the 21st of June. That's just one day before the city's mayoral primary. Not to be outdone, though, the three-term mayor herself is facing felony charges for violating campaign finance rules. The couple has had their share of issues. About 25 years ago, the husband, Timothy Granison, spent 5 years in prison on armed robbery charges. Back in 2013, the mayor said of him that he learned his lesson and is now a loving husband, father, and contributing member of the community.
Yeah, apparently the mayor is blaming this cocaine and gun arrest on saying it's
planted.
It's all about politics.
Well,
and this arrest was politically motivated.
Well, maybe it was, but they still caught him.
He still had the gun.
Witch hunt is only a witch hunt until you get caught.
Until there's a real witch,
yep.
Right? All right. A Florida man is saying that his string of bad luck ended up turning around after he bought a lottery ticket. I love doing these lotto stories. Curtis Fuller told Florida lottery officials he bought a scratch-off ticket just days after both he and his wife's cars broke down. Despite his bad luck, his ticket ended up being a $1 million winner. He said the first thing he's doing besides buying a new house is buying two new vehicles.
One of history's greatest mysteries, Frank, will be solved this fall. Millions of Italians around the world celebrate the great Spanish explorer for actually being from Genoa, Italy, Christopher Columbus. Some believe he was actually Portuguese or Croatian, maybe even Polish. Those are my people. So I have no problem with this. Well, the enigma may be clarified by a team of international scientists on Wednesday. They launched an investigation to find out who the real Chris Columbus really was. We know that bones found in a tomb at the cathedral in Seville were his. We found that out in 2003, I believe it was. But back then, DNA wasn't finely tuned like it is today. New technology means they only have to take a small fragment, tiny fragment of those bones. They have fragments and a tooth from his kid and also his brother, and they're all being sent to labs in Rome, Florence, Mexico, and the U.S. So we should have our answer in October.
That's exciting.
That's a big deal.
I wonder if he turns out not to be Italian, if Italian groups will still get upset about people trying to rename Columbus Day.
He's got to be. I don't know. I mean, maybe.
Some people believe he's Jewish, actually.
Well, it would be ridiculous if you got upset that he was, you know, if he's not Italian.
Right.
Because the whole point is he's Italian.
Yeah. I mean, the joke will be if he's actually an indigenous person.
Yeah.
That would turn out to be quite a twist. All right. Well, New Jersey's economy is slowly on the road to recovery. The Garden State gained 3,900 jobs during the month of April, making the fourth straight month jobs have been added to the local economy since the beginning of the pandemic. The state's unemployment rate slightly dropped to 7.5%, down from 7.6% in March. The nation's unemployment rate is slightly better at 6.1%.
I have a couple drinking stories for you. So how much do Americans drink? According to a new report, not as much as you might have thought, at least compared to other countries around the world. The U.S. comes in at 21 on the world's biggest drinkers list. Most European countries actually are ahead of us, including the U.K. and France. But we drink more than Brazil, Japan, and China. So who is the worst, do you think?
I would say it's Italy.
The Latvians.
Really?
The Latvians.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah, those damn Latvians. I'm kidding. I'm Lithuanian, so we're right next door. So.
No, beautiful women in Lithuania.
Well, there you go. And also, beer is good. Beer is bad. Chocolate is good. Chocolate is bad. Wine is good. Wine is bad. Enough with the studies. We got it. Moderation. But then again, maybe not. A new study shows drinking any amount of alcohol is harmful to the brain. Researchers at Oxford say just a few cocktails lowers the gray matter in your brain. That's the goo that's found in the outermost layer. It's high in cells, and it plays a big part of the proper operation of the central nervous system. According to one of the Oxford doctors, there's no threshold drinking for harm.
Look,
any alcohol is bad.
Needless to say, I'm living proof that's not the case. come on. My brain's functioning as high a level as ever.
Only 37?
Well, we'll never know. It's time for traffic and transit on the sevens. Hello there, Joe.
Hello there, Frank. And again, as you travel eastbound Staten Island Expressway, bumper to bumper, Clove Road to the Verrazano. An earlier accident up on the Verrazano itself, a disabled truck center lane, Clove Road. As a result of all of that, you've got bumper to bumper traffic getting up and onto the Verrazano. Outbound on the Gowanus at 3rd Avenue, that accident should be out of the way. Same thing on the BQE. As you travel northbound, getting up towards Northern Boulevard, there was an earlier problem. That is clear. Deegan southbound is still closed in the west 230s with that tractor-trailer car accident and an accident investigation. And we just got word from from New Jersey Transit. Trains, 30-minute delays on the Gladstone branch between Sterling and Bernardsville. They're having signal problems, and alternate side again today is in effect. The supportive service of Napa Auto Parts, whether it's offering curbside or next-day delivery for online orders on 165,000 parts or getting involved in their local communities. When it comes to serving you, Napa's motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Napa know-how.
Yep.
Yeah. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, 78 degrees today we're getting up to. It's going to be a mix of clouds and sun. Tonight we're going to cool off. It's going to be in the mid-60s, but then tomorrow we turn on the heat. 90 degrees, maybe a little bit warmer. Mostly cloudy skies, but the sun will pop out there. Pretty much a duplicate for Sunday. So this weekend is going to be really, really hot. Make sure you stay hydrated. Monday, though, we're going from 90s down to 60s. About 25 degrees we're going to drop, getting into the mid-60s by Monday afternoon with mostly cloudy skies. But I do see the sun popping out for the next several days, so don't worry about it. 59 right now in Manhattan.
All right. Well, we have a whole lot of news coming your way over the next half hour. Sid Rosenberg, the star not only of the Bernie and Sid show, which apparently has no other host, the star of the television program Gravesend, and now the star of the Page Six gossip headlines, will be here to give us a preview of what's coming up.
He's taking over America.
That's right. It's a sad situation.
I'm getting a little nervous about it.
We are.
I feel like I should start putting makeup on when I come in the morning. Like, I'm, you know, worthy.
I'm making a concerted effort to improve my posture when he's around. Deb Valentine has all the local news, and Juliet and I have a few stories that are coming your way as well. But first, here's all the national news from Fox.
The Rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. Happy Friday. Hopefully you have something fun planned this weekend. There's certainly going to be some nice weather to enjoy it. This is the WABC Early News. We're taking you till 6:30 when Bernie and Sid take over. I'm Frank Morano.
I'm Juliet Huddy. You forgot to turn on her microphone. You heard Deb Valentine out there at the news desk. She's covering breaking news. Christian and Gabby are at the controls. And we've got a lot to get to today. We've got a lot of stuff about vaccinations locally in New York State, places you can go, things they're giving away, much to Frank's chagrin. You're not happy about this?
I mean, they should just make it retroactive to everybody that's gotten the vaccine.
Well,
it's a question of equity.
I understand, but it's happening, and I'm sorry that you're not a part
right,
of it.
Because what this is doing, economists call this a moral hazard. What this is doing is saying next year when the booster shot, when everyone needs to get that, or for the next pandemic 4 years from now, all this is doing is saying don't get the vaccination when it's first available. Wait till the last possible minute until they make the incentive so good that's when you should get it. Because this is creating
a
real problem.
I never thought of it that way. That's a great way to think of it.
It's true.
I'm disgusted by these programs. We'll talk about them though momentarily.
Yes. All right.
Change my mind.
Thank you.
See, now this is what two people who disagree on a subject, when you talk about things rationally and you engage, this is what it comes to.
Well,
you've changed my mind. Look at you.
Exactly. I'm marking the day on the calendar because
it's happened.
It's, I will hopefully change a lot of other minds about a really interesting aquarium auction that is going on in California. I'll tell you about that in just a minute. But for now, it's 6:07. Time for traffic and transit on the 7s. Here's Joe Nolan.
Morning again, Frank, Juliet. We still have trouble on Staten Island eastbound. Much better, though, but still bumper to bumper as you come away from Richmond Road right on up pretty much through Highland Boulevard. And again, all this is because of a bunch of earlier problems. There was a stalled truck. There was an accident up on the bridge. And, of course, the overnight road work that was there. So all of that, you put all that together, and you've got a pretty solid delay, a short one, but a pretty solid delay on the Staten Island Expressway. Deegan southbound jammed up, coming out of Van Cortlandt Park down to the 230s. A tractor-trailer car accident with an accident investigation. That continues. And now New Jersey Transit trains, 30 on the Gladstone branch up there in the Somerset Hills. Signals between Sterling and Bernardsville, and alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations again today are in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you, Joseph. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we're going to have a beautiful day, 78 degrees and a mix of clouds and sun. The temperature drops down to the mid-60s tonight, but by tomorrow it shoots up to the 90s. We'll have temperatures in the low 90s with mostly cloudy skies both Saturday and Sunday. The temperature in the evening Saturday will be about 70 degrees and cloudy skies, so it's going to be pretty dry. You can deal with it. I don't know if 70 is the best sleeping weather, though. I have to say, I feel like it needs to be a little cooler. That's just me, though. And Monday, once again, we're going to go from 90 degrees over the weekend. Monday will be 65 degrees and mostly, well, a mix of clouds and sun. I'm not really seeing any showers on the horizon. Well, that's good news. It is currently 59 in Manhattan.
Experts are worried that fewer people are getting vaccinated for COVID as more states are lifting restrictions. New data from the CDC shows the average daily pace of coronavirus vaccinations is down almost 50% from last month's peak. A COVID expert telling CNN that with restrictions being lifted, groups of unvaccinated people may become infected as they gather indoors, particularly in the South. CDC says the states with the fewest vaccine doses per capita include Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Tennessee. About 38% of all Americans are fully vaccinated, while 48% have received at least one dose.
An update on our colleague, Rudy Giuliani. Federal agents took out 18 electronic devices, apparently, from Giuliani's apartment during that raid back in April. That is according to a letter filed by prosecutors yesterday. The letter includes a request for the judge to appoint a special person to figure out which material is protected by attorney-client privilege. Giuliani is being investigated for possibly violating foreign lobby laws to try and get the former ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, fired.
Silence is complicity. Those are the words from President Joe Biden as he signed a new hate crimes bill into law. He said hate hides in plain sight, calling racism an ugly poison that has plagued the nation for too long. The bill passed Congress after several high-profile attacks on Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders. Those cases have been on the rise since the coronavirus pandemic began in China.
A former Trump Organization executive says things are not looking good for her former boss. Barbara Rez says, in her opinion, Trump CFO Alan Weisselberg has already spilled the beans on former President Donald Trump in order to protect his sons, who also work for the Trump Organization. The New York State Attorney General's office has opened a criminal investigation. We've been talking about this, and is also working alongside the city's DA.
The San Francisco Aquarium of the Bay is auctioning off the ability to name its teenaged giant sea bass on eBay.
Oh, sounds teenage.
So far, there are 60 bids for a total of $12,700. The winning bidder will get to name the 15-year-old bass and receive digital images over the course of its lifetime.
Receive digital? I mean, you got to be – I'm sorry.
It's like adopting,
I shouldn't say that.
You know, a third-world child.
Well,
right?
What happens when if it dies? Like,
okay. Well, the 250-pound fish is 5 feet, 6 inches long.
Oh, that's horrific.
Listen. And it could live for 75 years or longer.
Oh, God, no. It's horrible.
We should name it. We should name it for us.
Fred.
Yeah, or Fruliette.
Fruliette. Oh, yeah. All right. I like that. Or Jank.
Yeah.
do you have those Ring doorbells? Do you have that?
I do. Well, my wife had us install it.
No, I think it's great.
She likes it, too.
Oh.
Woke me up. Somebody rang our doorbell at 2:30, woke me up from a nap that I was really enjoying.
I thought you meant like 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh, that's well,
for me, that is 2:30 in the morning.
That's true. Those Ring doorbell cameras have helped a lot of folks catch a lot of creeps. We know this. But have things gone too far? Amazon, which now owns Ring, has reportedly teamed up with various law enforcement agencies around the country. This news came out, I believe, in the last couple of days. But I wanted to talk about it with you because each of these outlets can allegedly request content from our Ring videos from Amazon without a warrant.
Ugh.
So great news if they're catching bad guys, but as one critic said, it's basically a giant civilian surveillance network and arguably a threat to democracy.
Terrible.
I have to say, I love it. I love it. We're not, you know, by the way, we've got little cameras around. I'm going to get it though. I'm going to get it. I'm fine.
I'm going to give you
Feds.
Mine.
I'm not doing anything. I'll take it.
Okay.
We've got cameras everywhere because we want to catch people throwing stuff on our lawn.
Do they do that?
They haven't done that in a long time.
Well, that's nice.
Thank God. Or leaving notes on my car, which is also pleasant. Yeah, but anyway, it is a concern, and I have a feeling there are going to be some warning flags raised about this.
I would say.
A little bit louder.
All right. Well, New York City continues rolling out incentives to get vaccinated, as Juliet's been telling you. We'll have an update on that in just a bit. But the New York City Police Department is launching a crackdown against ATVs, dirt bikes, and other illegal motorcycles. Chief of Department Rodney Harrison says confiscating these illegal vehicles will improve street safety, traffic patterns, and ease noise concerns. Officials posted a video to Twitter showing the bikes are most typically crushed at the junkyard when seized. A new initiative is asking for the public's help in finding out where the bikes are stored, with a $100 reward for each illegal vehicle that's confiscated.
Well, why do they have to ruin them? Why can't they just give them away to places that might need them?
I guess because they're still illegal. I mean, would you give them away to very needy criminals?
No, but like maybe the military could use them.
That's an idea.
I mean, I'm always thinking forward. All right. Brooklyn's tallest residential tower has put their cherry on top of the cake, so to speak. Brooklyn Point just unveiled a pool to rival all others in the city, in the world, really. It was designed by the famed architectural firm Cohn Pedersen Fox. It sits on top of the luxury 68-story apartment building on Willoughby Street. 68 stories above. That's what it is. It's nearly two times the size of the tallest pool in the Eastern Hemisphere at Singapore's Marina Bay Sands Hotel. But you can't frolic here unless you're a resident or, I guess, with one. How to score that deal? Be rich or have rich friends. The cheapest apartments start at just under $1 million. And by the way, the tallest in the Western Hemisphere is Address Beach Resort in Dubai, nearly 1,000 feet high.
Well, here to bring us the latest in the world of sports is star of radio, screen, newspapers, and a host of other
social media,
television. My goodness, the one and only Hollywood Sid Rosenberg.
Well, thank you, Frank. Good morning, Juliet. Everybody here. Yankees beat the Rangers 2-0 2 days ago behind Corey Kluber's very first ever no hitter. They replayed it yesterday. They did it again. No, not a no-hitter this time, but Yankees starter Domingo Herman, every bit as impressive, 7 shutout innings. And again, for the second consecutive night, the Yankees beat the Rangers by a final score of 2-0. Herman, who was suspended last year for domestic violence, he improves to 4-2. He's been very good. Yanks got some pinch hits, big hits from Gio Urshela and Aaron Judge to win the game. But here is Yankee skipper Aaron Boone on Herman's performance.
But Domingo, you know, continues to pitch really well. I mean, his mix of pitches, the command of those, the ability to throw any and any count, another really strong outing by him.
Don't look now, but the Yankees have won 3 straight. They're 25-19. They're in third in the American League East, but just a game and a half behind Joe Abud's division-leading Boston Red Sox. Yankees will host the White Sox in the Bronx tonight. Mets were off yesterday. They're in Miami today. Start a 3-game series against Derek Jeter's Miami Marlins. Hockey last night, the Islanders, boy, this series is tough. Every game has been decided by one goal. The problem is, the last two games, Pittsburgh had one more goal. They beat the Islanders last night 5-4. Penguins now lead that series, like I said, 2-1. NBA last night, the Wizards all over the Pacers, 142-115. That earns Washington the 8th seed in the East. They'll take on the 1 seed 76ers. Also, you've got the Nets and Celtics. You've got the Bucks and the Heat. And Sunday night, Madison Square Garden, Mike Breen will be on the call. The Knicks will take on the Hawks. Here's Knick coach Tom Thibodeau on that.
We're excited because we get great support. I think we have the greatest fans in the world here. They're passionate, and obviously the Garden is such a special place to, not only us, but everyone in the NBA.
Later on tonight, one more playoff game in the West. Breen has this one, too. The Warriors will take on the Grizzlies for the right to take on the one seed out West, the Utah Jazz. The Lakers, last year's champs, they earn their way in. They'll take on the 2 seed Phoenix Suns. That series starts on Sunday. Sports at 15:45, brought to you by Pete Morgan and the fine folks at Peerless Boilers. Check them out at PeerlessBoilers.com, PavilionTankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports, once again, I'm Sid.
Sid, indeed. Doing the traffic, we have Joe, who I asked if he was on Instagram yesterday. And, Joe, you responded by telling me that you were at the Rutgers game. I didn't really understand that response.
Right. I'm the PA announcer for both the New York Jets and for Rutgers football.
Oh, wow.
And I was down in Piscataway yesterday, the Scarlet White game, and White won 21-20.
It still seems like an answer to an unrelated question, but...
No, I am. That's what I was doing. I was at the Rutgers.
So you're saying you don't have time?
No. Or, well, no.
No, I was at the Rutgers spring game. I'm busy. I'm working.
No, no. My question was, do you have Instagram? And
yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Right. That kind of would have been the...
Which I really don't, which I really don't know how to work it. So that's why I was kind of questioning. Yeah, I don't have any idea.
Nor answer questions about it. Clearly, all right. But so, thankfully, for our listeners' sake, you do know how to answer questions about the traffic, Joe. How's it looking?
Indeed. If you're traveling on the southbound side of the Deegan, we still have this full closure down in the 230s. Again, a multi-vehicle accident on the overnight. Car slammed into the back of a tractor trailer. It's still in the process of being taken care of, and it is backed up now to McLean Avenue on the southbound side. So a big delay coming down the Deegan. Get on over to the Henry. If you're not in a commercial vehicle, go to the Henry Hudson, any of the parkways instead of the southbound side of the major Deegan coming out of Westchester. Long Island Expressway now, westbound exit 42. An accident, that's in the HOV lane, eastbound Staten Island Expressway at Highland Boulevard. That earlier problem. 30-minute delay, Jersey Transit, Gladstone Branch signal between Sterling and Bernardsville and alternate side is in effect. The supportive service of Liberty Mutual Insurance. Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Visit libertymutual.com to learn more. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joseph. Mm-hmm. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, today is going to get up to 78 degrees. We're going to have a mix of clouds and sun. It'll be a cool night, around 64 degrees. Then the weather is going to get toasty. Saturday and Sunday, we're looking at the low 90s with a mix of clouds and sun. Sleeping weather, if you like it, 70 degrees at night on Saturday and about 62 at night on Sunday. That's really nice. And the reason that it is 62, well, not the reason, but it is going to be 62. And then you are going to have 65 degrees for a high on Monday. So from Sunday night to Monday, not going to really get much of a difference going from like the low 60s to the mid 60s.
That's
Monday
true.
Afternoon.
Something that's also rising is not just the temperature, it's the stock market. S&P 500 up 43 points yesterday. The Dow Jones up 188 points. And the NASDAQ up a whopping 236 points. This after three straight days of losses on Wall Street. Tesla is going to hold a delivery event on June 3rd to unveil the long-delayed Model S Plaid. Founder and CEO Elon Musk tweeted the announcement, noted this is the fastest model yet, boasting speeds of 0 to 60 in under 2 seconds. The Model S Plaid is an updated version of the company's flagship electric sedan that includes a steering yoke option, which is typically used in race cars. Musk has promised Plaid versions of the company's fleet since September of 2019. Juliet.
Well, it is time for the famous guy, and his name is Sid.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
The famous guy named Sid.
That's Cher. Elvis.
Madonna.
Bono.
Right. All that.
Sid.
Yeah. Let me tell you what you never want to happen to you, okay? So I have to get a new phone. It's a long story.
Oh, yes. Thank you for letting me know your number.
I got you the number. And it is such a pain in the ass if you can't, you know, kind of link up the clouds and all this nonsense.
I know.
So my problem is that I don't remember anything I do, like on social media. So I have no idea what my Twitter password is.
That is
Instagram.
I know.
That is the worst.
So yesterday I tried to put my Instagram on my cell phone, and I didn't remember my password. So now I've been locked out of all my accounts. So now I just had to start a brand new Instagram account this morning.
No.
I have one follower. At thousands and thousands and thousands. Now I've got one. I got to start all over again.
What?
And no, you don't.
Yes, I do. Oh, let me tell you something. I called Instagram yesterday in California. I sent them an email. They made me take a picture holding up my username and a special code they sent me. Email the picture. And what did they do? They sent the security code to my old phone, which I cannot retrieve of that information. And they won't change to my new phone. So I'm done. I'm locked out.
You need to get one of these 20-somethings to just handle it for you.
That's what I need.
They know how to do this.
Well, Lauren Conlon is coming in today.
She knows how to do this.
Right. So I started a new account this morning.
She's out of that target age.
Oh, is that true?
She's really weird about social media. She gets it.
No, she doesn't get Twitter. She doesn't understand
Twitter. No, I want Instagram. I don't care about
Twitter. That's what I'm saying. I know, but I don't know.
Instagram is still Facebook. You know that. That's the parent company.
Yes.
So it's a nightmare. So here I am, of course, as narcissistic as I am, trying to get this page 6 column out everywhere I possibly can, and I can't get it anywhere.
What's your new Instagram handle? Give it so people can follow you.
Okay, the new Instagram handle is Sydney Rosenberg.
That's it. Sidney Rosenberg.
It used to be Sid Rosenberg. Now it's Sidney Rosenberg.
S-I-D-N-E-Y.
That's right.
Rosenberg.
Right.
All right. So follow
it's a nightmare.
Sidney Rosenberg and Juliet Huddy TV. One T, two D's. Also follow Morano Vision, M-O-R-A-N-O.
That's your Instagram, right?
Yes, that's right. We're trying to get a new word going on there called tedient. Follow me on Instagram to find out what it means. Now, what's coming up in the Bernie and Sid
Well,
show?
Lauren's going to stop by today.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and then we're going to spend 3 hours talking about me and Page Six, and that's it. I mean, I guess Andrew Cuomo.
Does Bernie know this?
Yeah, he knows. He's in. See, Bernie is a. He's. Let me tell you something about Bernie. He understands that we're doing really well now together. He would never get in the way of that. You know, like we talked about earlier, there are guys that would see the post and go, "Sid Rosenberg, the host. No, he's not. It's Bernie's show. He's just a co-host. Sid sucks. Blah blah blah." Bernie doesn't care about that stuff.
Right.
Bernie came in. He saw the Page Six, and he said, "Oh my God, how cool is this?" And a lot of guys, like you, for example, you'd be angry.
No, I
would
be.
Oh, sure you would. Yes, you would.
No, I would. Yeah. I would.
You'd be furious.
I would.
Furious.
But I have known a lot of people that would be.
Give me one. Give me one name.
No,
don't
no,
be
no,
a voice.
No,
Juliet said yes.
No,
give it to me.
I can't. Because it would hurt. It hurt their
family. By the way, you guys must have a lot of listeners because my phone is blowing up with people on Instagram.
Wonderful.
They are blowing up my. Look at this. One
That's
after
hysterical.
Another.
Oh, my gosh. Look at that.
One after another.
I'm not getting any
wonderful
Instagram.
Yeah. Hey.
They don't care about the word tedient. See, that does bother me now a little bit.
No, but because you guys said it,
yes,
I'm getting these followers.
Well, you're welcome. Are there any guests or anything other than Lauren?
That's it. You know, Matt Meany went on vacation, and he's a great kid. He works his ass off, but God forbid he should produce while he's away, you know. So, I mean,
how dare him?
I mean, right.
Go on
to be honest, most of the shows I book the guests anyway.
Right,
he's got the regular.
So what are you complaining about?
Well, I'm not complaining. No, I don't care. It's Friday. We'll talk about we'll do sports. We'll do entertainment. We'll do Cuomo and Biden and all that stuff, and it'll be a great show.
Wonderful.
Or it won't. What do I care? Getting paid next Friday anyway. You know what I mean?
Wasn't this month one of those three paycheck months?
Oh, was it?
I think so. I don't know. I think so.
Juliet does very cool videos, by the way, on Instagram almost every day.
Yeah.
Every
well,
day.
I haven't done it. I
Juliet
haven't done the
Huddy
last few
TV.
Days. Yeah, I've been, but they're always, you know, they're behind the scenes. They're like at my house, and I, you know, it was me getting Botox. I don't care.
I've done that. I did that 2 months ago.
Yeah. But God, for women, sometimes people are like, "Oh my God, how could you do that? How could you not wear makeup and sit in the chair?" It's like, do you really care that much what I do to my body? Like, do you care that much? Does anybody really care?
I think the answer is pretty clear.
They obviously do care, which is kind of cool.
Tim Tebow coming back to the Jaguars. Excited, not excited?
I mean, it doesn't mean anything. Look, he won a championship with Urban Meyer at Florida, so they've had this great relationship. But for Stephen A. Smith, and I'll play this today, I like Stephen, but every once in a while he really goes into this crazy place.
Yes.
And for him to say Tim Tebow coming back is white privilege because every black athlete has to claw their way to the top.
Well, not if they're good. I don't understand that. This doesn't make any sense.
Well, doesn't make any sense at all.
A lot of people are saying Tebow is not a professional quality.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter
if they want him in the locker room because he'll be good for the young quarterback Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer likes him. It's none of your business whether he's good or not.
He's
they
coming
want him
back
there
to be tight end, right?
Right, he's going to play tight end, and he may not even make the team. He may have a bad practice, you know, training camp, and get cut. Either way, you know, Stephen A. Smith, calm down. He's a nice guy. He's a good Christian. He's a handsome kid. People like him. Stay out of it. Anyway.
He stays out of it. I mean, he stays out of the fray.
No, Stephen A. I'm talking about.
No, I know, but I'm saying, yeah.
Tim Tebow,
he stays out of the fray.
Yes. This discussion brought to you by Pete Morgan, Peerless Borders, PeerlessBorders.com, PavilionTankless.com.
All right.
Thanks,
well,
Sid.
Well, Sid might not be a Twitter person, but I am. I will be live tweeting tonight's Staten Island Republican borough presidential debate featuring Vito Fisella, Letitia Romaro, Steve Matteo, and more.
He's still freaking out because all those people are now following him.
Wonderful.
Again. Can you follow us?
Again, Morano Vision, Juliet Huddy TV, 77 WABC Early News.
Tanya Ryman,
R-E-I-M-A-N.
That's right, body language expert. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Have a great
weekend.
Monday. Here's Joe Nolan.